worship you. We thank you for your tangible presence. The word is true, Lord. We not only believe it, we know it because we are experiencing it. The God that inhabits the praises of Israel. Thank you. For your tangible presence we can actually feel in our hands. As we enter this word now, we ask that you go with us. Let that same presence go with us. Come and open your word. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Give us understanding, fresh insight and revelation. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically here present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically. Let your word flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words, to follow them wherever they are heard and release it all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, saying only what you want me to say. Bring in our treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have a present truth message for us today. It's entitled, Princes, Crown Princes, and Kings. Princes, crown princes, and kings. Firstly, I'd like you to go with me to Galatians chapter 4 in verse 1. And it says, now I say that the heir, so long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. It is a fact that all Christians, and that's what that song, Baruch Hashem Adonai, part of what he was singing, we who are Gentiles, remnant, we've now been grafted in the vine, and we've not only been grafted in the vine, we've been made part of the royal line. Some months ago, I taught about, you know, the spiritual dynasty of David. I was teaching about overcoming rebellion and all of that, and the imminent emergence of spiritual kings after the dynasty of David. This is a great truth and concept. And in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John says, he hath made us kings and priests. Every Christian is a potential king. That is why here in the book of Galatians, it says that the heir, we're all heirs of God, but so long as you remain a spiritual child, you're just like a servant. Even though, potentially, you are Lord of all because Jesus has bought everything from you. Another scripture says in, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it says, all things are yours. But of course, we know that in practice, we don't have all things in possession. But that's not the will of God. God wants us to grow. So the main purpose of this message is a motivational message, spiritual motivational message, not the normal motivational message, to motivate us. And God opened my eyes to see, you know, how and why we should aspire not just to become princes, but they are also crown princes. And then they're kings. Let's look at princes first. And I'm going to come to crown prince. And of course, the example, the prototype is the Lord Jesus Christ. You will observe that Jesus, even though he was a king, he was not different from a servant. when he was a child, when he was a baby, although the wise men came, but he wasn't king yet, you know. And then, you know, he was 12 years old, you know, and he went to the temple. He wasn't king, he was just 7. Then he grew. Then he became a prince. And we're going to see in a few minutes. Then he became a crown prince. And then he became a king. These things are not automatic. They've already been purchased. Like Paul said in Philippians, he said, that I may apprehend that which already have been apprehended. So Jesus already bought all of these things for us. So they are ours, potentially. But then there are things we need to do to come into the experiential knowledge of these things. It's not enough just to know them in our heads or even by revelation. Revelation is very important. But the purpose of revelation, when properly understood, is transformation. Revelation without transformation will lead to frustration. If I have revelation of something and I never get it, you know, it's frustrating. You know, the Bible actually says that, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If I have a hope and I'm never able to actually attain it. Now, last week we preached on laying hold of this hope. And this is some kind of continuation of the same message, but, you know, from a different perspective of princes and crown princes. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32. And I'm going to look at verse 1, just verse 1. It says, behold, behold means revelation, look and see. A king will reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Here, God is giving Isaiah revelation about the body of Christ, the church that is going to come. He says, and amongst the church, there will be people who will reign in righteousness. That's not just right standing, it's also right doing. And princes will rule in judgment. Then in verse 2, it's talking about covering, but it's contextual, so I will quote it. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covering from the tempest. The Old King James says covert. As rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock. He's using different symbolisms or metaphors to describe what kind of protection that comes from the king and the princes through intercession. When they pray for the people under their sphere of influence, these things are experienced. It becomes a hiding place for the wind. It becomes a covering from the tempest. It becomes a rivers of water in a dry place. It becomes a shadow, you know, from the sun, you know, when of a great rock. You know, if you're in a place where it's very sunny and there's a big rock, you can go under the shadow of it, then you feel cool because the sun is no longer beating directly on you. All these are metaphors, but they are a consequence of the operation of kings and princes. Now, somebody's going to ask me a question, and the question, of course, I'm sure is in our eyes, what's the difference between a prince and a king? I'm going to tell you in a minute. You know, let's look at it. Let's first of all look at it in the natural. Then we now go to the spiritual. In the natural, for example, one monarchy the whole world knows now is the English monarchy. So I'll use that as an example. Just before Queen Elizabeth died earlier on this year, she was the queen. Now her son, Charles, is now king. And then he has two sons, Harry and William. But William is the crown prince. Harry is not the crown prince. William is the crown prince. Before his mother died, Charles was the crown prince. In England, they call it Prince of Wales. In other words, when you have many princes, you have some princes that become crown princes. That is, this is the prince who is going to become a king when the father dies or whoever it is that's on the throne. You can have a lot of princes, but it's not all of them that will be crown princes. Now, in our own case, let's come back to the spiritual now. Every prince can become a crown prince. And every prince can therefore become a king. In fact, that's the will of God. Hence this message. And we have to understand where we are in terms of our spiritual development index, you know. And the sad thing, honey, is that Christians are very unaware of how to measure spiritual growth. It's one of the reasons for this message. It's a sad commentary, but I will tell you. Majority of God's people are servants. They're not even princes. They're not even princes. Some people, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years being a Christian, is still a servant. You know, a prince. So say, how do you know a prince? Genesis chapter 32. You know, this kind of truth is hidden truth. It's there in the Bible, but it's hidden. And you know how God hides his truth? He scatters it. He scatters it in different places in the Bible. You know, in a secular book, you know, which is not a spiritual book, you, if you want to find out, if you go to Google now, and you want to go and find something, it will tell you everything about that thing in one place. The Bible is not like that. So even though the Bible talks about princes, you don't find everything about princes in one chapter and verse. You find a little here, like it says in Isaiah 28, here a little, there a little. It's deliberate. It's because it is hidden. Not only is it hidden, not only is it scattered, it is also hidden in symbols. In other words, God will use metaphors. He will use parables. He will use symbolic language. And if you don't understand the language of the Bible, the symbolic spiritual language of the Bible, you will read something and you will not know that's what he's talking about. Look at Genesis chapter 32. And I'm going to look at verse 28. This is the account of Jacob. And we all know the story of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. They were twins. Jacob was the most spiritual of the two of them. You know, Esau was a carnal man. He just liked physical things. He didn't pay much attention to spiritual things. But Jacob was more spiritual, but Jacob had a problem. He had a character that was trickery, you know. He was a supplanter, you know, and he was used to that all his life. And a time came in his life because God wanted him to inherit his spiritual, he wanted him to come into his destiny, to inherit his spiritual inheritance, you know, because his father had pronounced it on him. He tricked his brother, you know, and his mother too was a part of the scheme, you know. Like I always tell people, you know, Isaac wasn't really fully deceived. I knew Isaac knew. He said, the hand is the hand of Esau. He said, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. Someone said, you know, he was an old man and he was blind. You know, why, you know, so he was deceived. He wasn't deceived. He was angry, but he wasn't deceived. You know how I know? Someone said, how do you know? If I was Isaac and I had any son, I said, go and call your brother. The solution is so simple. Go and call your brother. Okay, you say you are Esau. Oh, you brought my food. Okay, go and call your brother. I'm going to bless you in front of your brother so your brother will know that it is you I gave the blessing to. Why didn't Isaac do that? He knew. He had the suspicion and he knew. And he knew that Jacob was the most spiritual of the two boys. Go and read the account very well. You know, this is why we need to read our Bibles properly, like I was explaining during the Bible study. When I read my Bible, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit at the same time. I read something and sometimes I just pause. I say, Lord, I lift up my head because I'm talking to somebody. I've set the Lord always before me. So I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know, what's this? Show me more. And then he would give me some other scripture. The Bible says that this Esau, the Bible calls him I've forgotten the term he uses for him. It's in the book of Hebrews, you know. Anyway, though I don't remember the exact English verb, I'll tell you what it is. He despised his birthright. But even before then, he married two funny girls. Judith and one other one. I can't remember the name. He said they were a grief of heart to Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac knew all that. Is he going to give that the blessing to somebody who has... And he, silly girls, he married them from Canaan. All these funny, you know, Canaanite girls, you know, who are not of the stock of Abraham, you know. And he told them, I don't want you to marry from these people. You know, when Isaac was a young boy, Abraham said, don't give him a wife amongst these people. He said, go to my country and bring somebody from my line. So when Esau married those two girls, he was out of his father's will. You know, but think about Isaac. We parents need to learn this. He was emotionally attached to Esau. So even though he knew better that Esau should not get the inheritance of the firstborn, even though he was firstborn, but technically he wasn't because they were twins. You know, firstborn means this person was born. It just means that he came out first, you know. But, you know, they were all born on the same day. So technically, they're really the same age, you know. So he could have told Esau that, you know, where you're going, you're going to lose your inheritance. You keep marrying all these kind of funny girls and, you know, going all over the whole place. But anyway, that's another message for another day. Isaac was not as, and Rebecca, they were not as forthright, you know. He wasn't as strict with Esau as he should have been, you know. So when Rebecca, you know, now told Jacob to pretend as if he was Isaac, sorry, as if he was Jacob, rather, as if he was Esau, you know, and he came, Isaac knew now. He said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. But the hand is the hand of Esau. Any wise father at that time say, go and call your brother. Go and call your brother. And I'm going to bless you so that your brother will know I've put the stamp authority. Observe, anytime when God calls a man and he wants to establish authority on him, he doesn't do it only alone. He does it alone when he calls you personally. But he also does it publicly. For instance, when he called Joshua, you know, he told Moses that Joshua is going to be your son. Then he said, now, in front of everybody, bring the whole of Israel. Let him kneel down before you. Lay your hands on him and give him a charge. So he will have authority. Because he was young. And a lot of people will think, oh, you know, this small Joshua, how can he be? But because God said so, he did it publicly. So many times he should have actually done that. He should have called Esau and said, you know, this is your brother and he's going to get the birthright now because X, Y, Z and Y, you know. And there would have been no fight. Anyway, so he didn't anyway. So this years later now, Jacob, you know, was used to supplanting and he's a trickster. He knew God, but he didn't know God as well as he should, you know. And he had these aspects of his character, you know, that was flawed. Thank you, darling. You know, so to cut a long story short, you know, he's coming back, you know, after he went to Laban, the beguiler beguiled. He came across a greater trickster than himself. That one tricked him. And got him to spend 14 years to get, you know, the first daughter. And he gave him the wrong one in the middle of the night. You know, when I read those stories in the Bible, it just tells me that, you know, sometimes God, and it's all written for our learning and admonition. Are you going to tell me that if they bring a wrong person to you in the night, you won't know? I know those days they didn't have electricity like we have, but they had lamps and things like that. Are you Leah? Are you Rachel? No, this is not Rachel. Anyway, another message for another day. You know, so he tricked him, you know. And you know, Jacob liked women. That's the truth. That's the truth. He knew. And thought he could get away with it. Then Laban told him, say, it's not like that. Because this other one is his junior sister. This one is his senior sister. So that's why I gave you the senior sister. You cannot marry the junior without, you know, so that she will not be without husband. So he said, you work another 7 years. Anyway, at the end of the day, God met him. And he had to, let's read from verse 24. My punchline is verse 28, but I'm going to read from verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. You know, our spiritual lives are both corporate and individual. A lot of your prayer life is to be alone. And some of it is to be in a corporate environment. You must develop your own personal relationship with God. You can't read your Bible with other people. You have to read your Bible alone. Now, of course, you can come here to church like this and do Bible study like we're doing. But you must go back home and read your Bible alone. Where God will speak to you alone. Then what is giving you alone, you now bring it to the corporate and all of us get blessed. There's a great, it's a great truth. You can, don't neglect the individual and don't neglect the corporate. You need both of them for completeness. Many years ago, God said that to me. I must mention it here. And it's also contextual in what I'm talking about. You know, when I first came back, you know, and I was, you know, I told you my story the other day. You know, I was living in that house before the West Side Scripture Pasture. You know, I didn't have a bed. I didn't have a job for many months. It was my friends who used to contribute money to give me, you know, money to eat and, you know, put food into the house and everything. Anyway, so what happened was that we used to go to church. It's one of the things that motivated us to start Scripture Pasture. Because most of the church, all these denominational churches, the people were not born again. The only church that was a little bit evangelical was Oritam Efa. Some of us used to go there, but, you know, the Baptists, they had their limitations. Let's just leave it like that. Wonderful brethren, you know. So we all go to IVCU. We go to fellowship. It was Sunday afternoon. Always Sunday afternoon because everybody's back from church. So usually, IVC, usually from about maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon till about 3 or 4, 5 o'clock in the evening. Occasionally, Pa Elton will come and teach us. And we'll also have some, they used to invite people. So there's sometimes they will invite Idahosa. Sometimes they will invite Brother Kumuyi, you know, and so on like that. Sometimes I would be invited to the glory of God, you know, to come and speak to the entire fellowship. So, God now told me, he said, what you're doing, I used to do a lot of praying by myself, read the Bible, got revelation, did Romans and Ephesians, all those. I wrote in notebooks. Those notebooks are still in the church office. You know, I finished the whole New Testament between 1982, 81 to 84, about 3 years. We started Scripture Pasture in July 84. There's a reason why I'm telling you this story. And I grew a lot. I knew I was growing because I was, you know, get a lot of revelation. But even apart from that, even in my conduct, in my life, in my the way I was behaving, my temper, you know, other things, so many things. I knew I was doing well, you know, spiritually, relatively speaking. But then God spoke to me one day. He said, you can never get into perfection in isolation. I'll never forget it. He said, you need a corporate environment that's going to give more nutrition to you. That time I didn't know this Colossians chapter 2, you know, not holding the head, you know, with joints and bands. It was later on I got to know those scriptures. But he spoke that word to me, you know. And that's one reason I said, make sure you go to fellowship. Always have You know, even though they may not be saying things, some of the things you are learning, but just even being in the fellowship and being around the brethren, there is a nourishment that it gives to you. So I started going, you know, more regularly than I used to, you know, to the fellowship. But even that was not enough, because they used to bring this guy this week, another guy next week, and the people were confused. So, you know, my friend Larry Decker and I, I just said, look, let's start a church. You know, we need we didn't call it church first. You know, we started as a church. But the idea was to have a forum in which the Word of God is taught on a consistent and systematic basis that will cause the saints to grow. Because if you hear Mr. X this week, and you hear Mr. Y next week, and you hear Mr. Z the third week, and they contradict each other, you will have confused saints. And that's what happened. And that's the thing that now led us to say, I'm going to start. Then I started teaching the Bible consistently and systematically. And the proof is there. But to the glory of God, you know, the people who start on this ministry by the grace of God over the years, you know, have people who have grown spiritually and many times have outgrown their peers. You know, if you go to many places where scripture pastor people are, you know, who maybe you know, left the church and gone to some other place, they're always the top pastors and all of that in the land of the blind. It's the truth. You know, and I say that to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. You know, we discovered that, you know, many of our guys, they're way ahead of the other people. Yet, in scripture pasture, those sons of those people will not qualify for some things if they had stayed here. You know, that's the reason why some of them left. But another message for another day. So, this Jacob, he had problems. So, he was alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Well, now we know that it was an angel. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So we know he was not fighting a man. He was wrestling with an angel. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Let me give you this in the Amplified Bible. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob. And then he answered, let me get back here. Come. Yeah. The Amplified. Yeah. And the man asked him, what is your name? And in shock of realization, God showed him his character. Whispering, he said, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. Hello. And he said, that is the angel, God, you know, through the angel. Your name shall no longer be, your name shall be no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Let's go back to the King James. That's the Amplified Bible. But I go back to the King James now. This is where we get Jacob from. He says, thou shalt no longer be God, but as a prince. Everybody scream prince. This is where we get the definition of a prince. Jacob was a Christian, an Israelite. He was paying his tithe. He was, you know. But he wasn't a prince. There was a part of his character that had not yet been overcome. Negative part of his character. He hadn't learned the art of intercession and prayer that causes you to prevail with God in the place of prayer. But when he learned it, he said he now changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means a prince with God. This is a stage every Christian should come to. I didn't say every Christian comes to. I said should. All of us have the sin nature still in the soul and in the body. He said wrestle here. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. So just like Jacob literally wrestle with an angel here, we wrestle with these wicked spirits. Now, let me tell you what happens. I speak by revelation. See, the Bible says that, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past and were, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now, that's key. So what happens is this. From their vantage point in the heavenly places, these spirits, they release spiritual forces. I taught this about a year or two ago, during the pandemic. They release spiritual forces through the atmosphere that impinge, in physics we use the word incident. It just means to hit, to come upon. You know, they are incidents. They hit your mind. They hit your will. They hit your emotions. They hit your physical bodies. And inside your physical body, there is the sin nature there that agrees with those spiritual forces. And that is what makes you act the way you act. Become servants of the flesh and of the mind. It's crucial you have to understand this. Because when people talk about spiritual forces, they always think about deliverance. And, the madman of Gadara. That is an acute condition of spiritual possession. I'm not talking about being possessed by an evil spirit here. I'm talking about being manipulated by an evil spirit by remote control. The remote control of your television, when you press the button, what really happens is that an electromagnetic wave at a specific frequency is sent, out from the remote control. Your television has, you see, one small, tiny window. That's the receiver. So it will receive that signal from the remote control, and the receiver is tuned to the exact same frequency as the remote control. Once it comes into the television, it's to the receiver, depending on the instruction that you send. If you press 1, it's a different code. If you press 2, if you press 402, he knows that that is CNN or Sky News. So once you press the sequence of buttons, those signals come in, pim, pim, pim. The receiver inside the television will decode it, and it will switch the television from the channel you're watching to CNN. That's very simplified, but that's what happens. Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. So Satan, what he does is that he will send principalities and powers, wicked spirits in heavenly places. They will send these spiritual forces from the heavenlies, and they are very intelligent. I feel sorry for Christians. I say, the devil is nothing. The devil cannot. I just laugh. The Bible says, see, let's have the sum of wisdom. Thank God we have more wisdom in Christ. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. But you have to tap into it. It's not automatic. That's why he's running rings around so many Christians. See, he knows how to operate in your circumstances. He can set up the right circumstance. He will set up the right condition. Then he will work on your mind. He will work on your emotions. He will work on your will. And if you don't know how to pray and you don't know how to walk with God, if you are still, like many of us, are still a servant instead of a prince, those things will come and you will just walk into them. And you will just think it's just natural. It's not natural. It's natural. Because it's using your natural feelings and all of that. But it is tele-guided and tele-prompted, if you can use that expression, by Satan. And most Christians don't know. They're ignorant. They just walk like the world. I've used this example many, many times. I'll just say it briefly and come back. You got David. The Bible says, and Satan stood up and he provoked David to number Israel. Good example of this. What did he do? He sent that signal. That wave, if you like, that spiritual force of, watch this, pride. And sent it into David's mind So that David will now number Israel. So that, watch this, honey, his confidence will now be in the number of soldiers that he has rather than in the God who gives him victory. And it was a common thing in those days. Still today, you know, all armies do it. All nations do it. You know, we know how many soldiers we have in Nigeria. You know, we have a census. So if we're going to go and fight another country, we're going to find out, God forbid, we're not going to fight. But, you know, if another country, we're going to try and find out how many soldiers do they have? How many aeroplanes? How many tanks? How many this? Then we can then know whether we even have a chance of defeating them militarily. It's one of the things that happened in the Battle of Britain. That's why the Battle of Britain was really a miracle. The German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, outnumbered the British Air Force 5-1. For every British plane, there were five. Five. They had more planes, more bombers. Hitler used 1933, 34, 35, 36, where the Allies were just wasting time, you know. Did the Anschluss with Austria in 1938. All those years, he was building up his munitions, tanks, planes. So by the time World War II broke out in 1939, his forces far outnumbered the ones of England, you know, particularly the Air Force. So that's why they were so afraid. Are we going to be able to conquer this person? You know, it was three things God used. Radar. Gave the English that. The Germans too had radar, but they didn't have it as sophisticated as the English had, you know. Then they had a great plane called the Spitfire. The Spitfire had a better altitude and better maneuverability than the ME-109. Then they had another one called the Hurricane. Now, they weren't too much better, but they were better, you know. But radar really helped them. So they could pinpoint where the German forces were, come through the sky, quickly shoot them down. Then the third disadvantage is that the Germans were operating across the channel. The amount of fuel that they had in their planes was limited. So they could only spend approximately about 20 to 30 minutes over the British airspace. And they had to head back. They were flying in from France. Whereas the British were on their own territory. So the Spitfires and the Hurricanes, could fly for an hour. Whereas the German bombers and fighters could only fly for 30 minutes. So that was a great advantage. So they knew where they were by radar, you know. Then they had more fuel because they were on their own territory. And that was how they won, because they were really outnumbered. In fact, even the Americans thought the British would fold. They thought they would be defeated. After what Germany did with France and everything, nobody, you know. So what I'm trying to say is this. The reason why David did that thing, he wanted to know how much power he had. And God never wanted his faith to be in number of soldiers. But who put it in his mind? The Bible tells us this. And Satan stood up and provoked David to number Israel. He still does the same thing to people today, even Christians. He will just put a thought you think is a natural thought. And it is a natural thought, but it is teleguided by somebody who has your history. He has your history. He has history of your father. He has history of your grandfather. He knows the kind of thing you will like. And if you don't know how to pray, you'll find that those spiritual forces prevail over your mind, your will, your emotions, your body and your circumstances. And you find yourself doing things that you shouldn't be doing. So what happens is that when we now get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to learn the art of intercession. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, you know, which is really the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So what literally happens is this. As you pray, this is what makes you a prince. As you pray in the Spirit with true groaning, if you don't groan, you will never become a prince. Never. You will stay a servant all your life. If you don't learn the art of intercession and travail, because it is with travail you release the force, the power of the Holy Spirit, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the power of the Holy Spirit in the place of travail goes, and watch this, it clashes with the power of the prince of the power of the air that is come from the heavenlies. That's why we are seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. So when we release our own force, it clashes with the forces that come from these principalities and powers. And that's why it's called wrestling. You've seen people who are, you know, wrestlers. When they wrestle, you see them holding themselves like this. Then the stronger one will try and push the weaker one down. You know, and then he will turn over. You know, spiritually, it's really wrestling. Because what's happening is that what is coming from your own spirit is coming out into the air. What is coming from the devil is coming out into the air. So the two forces, spiritual forces, they engage in the air. So as you groan, and as you pray in tongues, and as you groan again, if you have releasing enough power, you will push him back, and you will overcome. If you're not releasing enough power, he will push you back. It's actually wrestling. It's spiritual wrestling. Oh, make the church wake up, honey. It's spiritual, it literally, that's what's happening. Now they say, we wrestle not with, you know, against flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers. It's literally wrestling. And that's why you see me pray some of those prayers. People don't understand. I pray by revelation, you know, in your regional heavenlies. So whatever is prevailing in your heavenlies is going to determine your circumstances on the earth. And if you want to really be victorious, like Jacob, Jacob had been a Christian. In the Old Testament, they were not born again. But he'd known God from when he was young. You know? But he was a servant all those years. All the time he was with Laban, he was a servant. So it was at this point in his life that God now met him and revealed his character to him. Then he wrestled with God, a type of us going to wrestle with principalities and powers, you know, in the heavenly places. And then his character was changed. God caused his joint, his leg to go out of joint, you know. And then he now realized, you know, the kind of person he was. And then God now changed, to change his character, he changed his name. And changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And that is why he's called a prince. So bring that in the New Testament. For you to be a prince with God, you have to prevail in the place of intercession. Christians that do not prevail in the place of intercession do not become princes. Go and write it down. Then I'm going to tell you another one. I just got this one. I know it's going to be difficult to accept, but there it is. You understand? Only princes are going to get borrowed anointing. Borrowed anointing is not for servants. In the New Testament economy. Now let me move from prince to crown prince. I've told you what a prince is, you know. And a prince, through prayer and intercession, has his character begins to change. I won't say changed. I'll say it begins to. The nature and the character of God begins to prevail over the sin nature that is in soul and body. That is the characteristic of princes. Hence, he says, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in judgment. Princes rule. They rule their regional heavenlies, and they have power in the place of intercession. So they can rule in nations. They can make apostolic and prophetic decrees, and they will work because they have learned, and they are learning, and they are practicing the art of intercession. No amen. Amen or no amen is the truth. You know, we don't like the truth in the church. We try and fool ourselves. Oh, we're all born again. We're all kings. You're not a king yet. You're a servant. Until you learn how to pray. Then you prevail like Jacob. Then you now become a prince. Now, what is the difference between a prince and a crown prince? This was taught me by the Lord Jesus recently. When I say recently, I'm talking about in the last few weeks, months. And this message, I downloaded it, you know, some months ago. I think it was earlier this year. And I just wrote it down. I just left it. So it was just yesterday or the day before yesterday, I said, I want you to preach it now. You know. Now let's use the natural. Then I'll come back to the spiritual. The natural crown prince is somebody who is certainly, everybody say certainly, going to become a king. That's why in the natural, you know, when you have the sons of the king, all of them are princes, but only one is a crown prince that's going to become king. That's the natural dynasty. But in spiritual, all of us can become kings. So what then is the characteristic of a crown prince? You know what the Lord told me? He said, look at Jesus. He said, look at me. He said, all those years when I was a young boy and I was growing up, I was a prince. You know, I started praying and all of that. In the days of his flesh, he said, but between the baptism of John and the wilderness experience, from the baptism of John to wilderness, he said, that's when I became a crown prince. I said, you don't see. He said, yes, I see. He said, yes. He said, because you see, what happened was that I'd been praying all of those years. I've been praying, and I've been growing. He said, when I now went to John, and John baptized me, he said, the heaven opened. Then the Spirit of God, in the form of a dove, came now upon me, and I moved from prince to crown prince. We say, once you move from queen to crown prince, kingship is just around the corner. This is my beloved son. What? Thank you, honey. My wife is downloading the whole thing. You know, in whom I'm well pleased. The characteristic of the crown prince is that he uses the anointing that is upon him. He has overcome. His nature has been changing and all of that. Then he gets to the point in his life, in his experience, where on a consistent basis, he overcomes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Once you have that internally, then you know you're a crown prince. You're no longer just a prince. That's what makes a crown prince. And you see that with Jesus in the wilderness. You see him, you know, the devil brings the quest, turn the stone into bread. He overcomes it. Go and jump from the top of the temple. He overcomes it. Bow to me, worship me, and I'll give you all the money in the world. He overcomes it. That's what made him a crown prince. And you know what? When he now goes to Cana of Galilee, he doesn't know it. He doesn't know the day has come for coronation. And he turns water to wine. He's no longer a crown prince. He's now a king. How do you know? Where the word of the king is, there is power. From that time, he just says something. It happens. The leper comes to him and says, you can heal me if I will. He said, I will. He heals the sick instantly. He cleanses the lepers instantly. He raises the dead instantly. That's a king in operation. But you can see the transition. Hence this very important prophetic message. You can see the transition. You begin with servant. Everybody's like that at first. If you don't get into deep prayer and intercession, you will not become a prince. But don't stop at being a prince. You need to now, you know, grow spiritually, where the Bible says, you know, a king sitteth on the throne of his mercy and he scatters all evil with his eyes. Even to the point where at the thought level. See, every temptation always starts as a thought. When you start getting to a place where even at the thought level, you know, lust of the flesh, you overcome it. Lust of the eyes, you overcome it. Pride of life, you overcome it. And it's consistent. Then you're moving into a crown prince. Then from crown prince, you now become a king. The spirit without measure will now come into manifestation. And that's where God is taking us to church. And that is why God is having us to teach these things. And teach it with clarity. So that everybody can understand it. You know, don't be discouraged wherever you are. Maybe you may be a servant. It doesn't matter. Even Jesus was like that. The Bible says when he was a child, it says, you know, he's a servant like everybody else. The Bible says he was subject to his mommy and his daddy, Joseph and Mary. He was in the carpenter's shop. Hey, Jesus, go and take this thing, take this wood to that man. Jesus, finish that table. Jesus, he's a servant. But after some years with growth and development. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. He grew out of servanthood into prince, to becoming a prince. And then at the epoch, at the age of 30, he now became a crown prince after the baptism of John. And then from the Cana of Galilee, he now became a king. So when, what's his name? Nathanael. See, this was before Cana of Galilee, but it was just a few days before. He said, "Thou art the king, thou art the king of Israel." When he appeared before Pilate, he said, "Are you a king?" He said, "I am. I am." And it is the destiny of every single one of us. God doesn't want you to stay as a servant. He wants you to move from a servant to a prince, from a prince to a crown prince, and from a crown prince to a king. It is kings that will make disciples and crown princes that will make disciples in all tribes, you know, and close the age. There is a deep hunger in the heart of God now for, I wrote it down here. God wants a large number, not just a few. That's why I'm teaching it. And that's why it's now gone into the air. It's gone. It's on the internet now. Everybody can get it. He wants a large number of servants to grow into princes, crown princes, and kings to make disciples in all tribes. Princes will have a borrowed anointing, and when they become kings, then they will inherit the full anointing. God is not going to trust even the borrowed anointing. Is this different? A little bit, isn't the same thing, really, you know, with people who have not discipled. You have to start walking in these things to some degree. And you see it, you see the type in the ministry of David. David is discouraged and he thinks he's going to die and Saul is going to kill him. So he runs away and goes to the land of the Philistines. He goes to one king there, I've forgotten his name, you know, and the guy gives him a place called Ziklag. The Bible says, and it's a prophetic statement, even though it's a historical statement. It says that, "And Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah until this day." And he was in Ziklag for 1 year and 4 months before he now came back after Saul died to Israel and was now made king over Judah alone, which is a type of the partial borrowed anointing. So the people who are even going to get that, you got to go to Ziklag. It's from Ziklag you now go to Hebron. It's from Hebron you now go to Jerusalem. You can't take any shortcut. It's prophetic. It's been written and the scripture cannot be broken. So you got to learn how to pray, you know, and overcome the devil, you know, and all of these things. And you have to start practicing things. He says 1 year and 4 months. I discovered that it takes time. But if you start practicing it, by the time you're doing the year, your nature begins to, you yourself, you will know. Your character internally begins to change. You begin to move from Jacob to Israel. And you know you're a prince. Then as you move further on, you begin to overcome the loss of the flesh, loss of, even at the thought level, crown prince. And then from there, we go to king. Stand to your feet. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Have I helped anybody here? I said, have I helped anybody here? Glory be to God. Amen. Let's talk to God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. We have too many babies in the church. Too many children. And we need a greater company of princes and crown princes. And then kings. This job we have, this great commission, cannot be done by servants. It can only be done by princes, crown princes, and kings. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we stand in the midst of a multitude.
Lord, we stand in the midst of a multitude.
Of those
from every tribe and tongue.
We are your people.
We are your people. Redeemed by your blood.
Rescued
from death
by your love. There are no words.
Good enough to thank you.
There are no words.
There are no words to express our praise.
So we
forever
lift up our voice
and sing from our heart
with all of our strength.
With all of our strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. By the blood of Christ we stand.
Every
tongue, every tribe,
every people,
in every land,
giving glory, giving honor, giving praise unto the Lamb of God.
I'm going to change the song. We've been created as kings and priests.
We've been created as kings and priests to worship your
That's the song.
To proclaim
your mighty works,
your excellence for all to see.
Heaven and earth.
Heaven
oh, sing
and earth.
It.
Declare your glory.
The sun, moon, and stars give you praise.
You are the great and mighty God.
Forever your kingdom will reign.
Now the sanctuary is filled with your glory.
We'll lift our voices up in
praise.
The sanctuary,
oh yes,
is filled with your glory.
Each instrument
resounding. We've been created again.
We've been created
as kings and priests.
Worship your royalty.
To proclaim
your awesome
mighty word.
Your excellence for all to see.
Heaven and earth, glory to God.
Declare your glory.
The sun, moon, and stars give you praise.
You are the great
and mighty God.
Forever your kingdom will reign.
Oh,
is filled with your glory.
Now the sanctuary,
oh,
is filled with your glory.
Each instrument
resounding.
Now the sanctuary.
Instrument
we sound.
put one hand on your heart and the other one to God. We're going to pray in a second. I want you to just tell God, Lord, I want to grow. You will know yourself. If you're a prince, you will know. See, these are internal things. You will know. Jesus knew who he was. By the time he was 12 years old, he already knew who he was. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I repent of spiritual laziness, ignorance. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, fresh life into my spirit and soul in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, help me, Lord, to apprehend that for which I have already been apprehended in Christ Jesus. Not to remain, so that we be no more children. That I don't want to be a servant anymore. I want to become a prince in your kingdom. Because you've made me a part of the royal line. And not only a prince, I want to be a crown prince. Then I want to become a king. I thank you for showing me the way. Oh Lord, help me. Like Jacob, help me to understand the flaws in my character. To understand the flaws in my nature. And change them by the power of your Holy Spirit. By prevailing in the place of prayer. Oh God, help me not to be satisfied with the mediocre. Help me not to be satisfied with servanthood, but rather to grow, to become a prince, and from a prince to a crown prince, and from a crown prince into a king, so that I can do your work. I can show forth your glory to this generation in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Nika tolo mashala priki to fride. Father, sali priki to fride. Father, thank you, Zala Prakatolo Mosholo Bresk. Lord Jesus, Aprikitolo Montu Fredesk. Lord Holy Ghost, Aprikik, Fredenga Roko, Umbrekatushka Fre, Jalepra, Lambrika Tofre, Lambrash. Thank you for your blood, Aprikitu Fredesk. Thank you for your life, Aprikitu Fredingitusk. Thank you for your power, Nakatala, Jaleprikitu Fredenga, Membra, in and upon our wills, Aprikitu Fredingitolo Montu Fresk. Our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure, Lambraga, Jelepri, Rico Fre, Lombredolos, Sefria, Yoko. Frener, Shalipika, Rintoska free, Nikatoska frener, in Jesus' name. If you're not here during the Bible study, maybe you just came in or you're just watching on television, if you need healing, I'm just going to release healing power. Father, we thank you for the healing power that's already in your word. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We say, be thou made whole. In Jesus' name, we come against the spirits of infirmity. We cast you out. We destroy your works, resist, and we bind you in Jesus' name. Something the Lord asked me to say. The Bible says God will not allow you, and I thank God for that, to be tempted above what you're able to bear. You see, the kind of principalities that are sent against princes, they're not sent against servants. Or they'll be wiped out. He doesn't. But you don't want to stay like that forever. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. And what will come against a crown prince won't come against a prince. And what will come against a king will not come against a crown prince or a prince. The higher we go, the more that's allowed. But then, the more you have. Greater is he that is in you than he that... Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Don't be afraid. So, be encouraged. Amen. Whatever level you are, fight.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Grow.
Amen, sir.
Don't stay satisfied. Don't stay servant for the rest of your life. Move. Move out. From servant to priesthood, from prince to crown prince, from crown prince to king. And don't be afraid of the challenges that will come. My wife and I have a joke that we used to joke many years ago. You know, as on Christian, they don't want prince. They don't want, you know why? I won't disturb the devil. Devil will not disturb me. I start crown prince. You know, not the prince now. Then all kinds of wahala will come. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Let the wahala come. You will overcome it.
Amen.
And then you become a testimony to others. Yes, then you become a blessing to others. And then we kick the guy out of this place. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. How many people still love me?
Yes, sir.
My wife is excited. You know, my this is constant. Amen. You know, the kind of message. It's the kind of message Jesus preaches. Many of his people say. But further, it's the truth.
That's why the church is so, you know,
God will help us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy and show you his salvation in the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham,
Amen.
Joseph, Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of Daniel, of David, rather, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John.
Amen.
All these people were princes. Every single one. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Ten members say, you grow from servant to prince to crown prince and to king, and you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name. Amen.